90s back on Idol Talk. Shallows everywhere are rejoicing with the discharge of Onyu, Ki, and Minho from the military. In this episode, we get in on that action with our own deep dive into SHINee. We laugh, we cry. Okay, I cry. But most of all, we celebrate the past 12 years of living in this beautiful SHINee world.
Hi everyone, welcome back to Idol Talk, where we explore South Korean pop culture one obsession at a time. My name is Nathan and I'm your host.
Hey everyone, I'm Ashley, the editor for Idol Talk, and I stan Johnny's long blonde hair. He's so handsome. And I think it's like a temporary thing. I like long blonde hair when it first comes out, but if it lingers too long, like Hyunjin, then it just needs to go. Like, Hyunjin does not look good in the long blonde hair.
It's overstayed its welcome.
Yes.
I don't like it. I like it when it's in a pony. I like it when it's back.
Well, it's, you better cut
messy.
His hair.
I want to...
Johnny's mother, I will follow your lead, Chris, and say yes. I also don't like it. I was scared to say it earlier because I was like, what if Chris likes it and that's her son? But I feel comfortable now.
He looks hot.
Oh my God.
I'd rather have him have his shirt off than have long hair.
Don't speak too soon.
Ain't that the truth? Or both. I'll take one or the other.
I'll take both.
And I'm Casey, co-host Taemin's Nuna, Hey Chanjae, and Jinyoung's Omoni. And I just want to congratulate my babies and Hypen on their debut on November 30. We're a little late with this greeting since this episode is coming out on the 10th, but I just wanted to acknowledge their hard work and perseverance during this time in order to debut.
Yes. And I'm Chris, co-host, and I'd like to welcome back Ten and congratulate him on his latest release in NCTU with 90s Love. Yes. Thank you for reminding me of your smooth, sweet voice. I am back in under your spell. Please show us your abs again sometime soon.
He's been working on that waist.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you all for those introductions. To our listeners, don't forget to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Idol Talk Pod, and rate, review, and subscribe to us on Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, and iHeartRadio. Don't forget to also send us any feedback that you have at idoltalkpod@gmail.com. And today we have a special episode. We wanted to celebrate how the princes of K-pop are back from the military. So we wanted to do a special shout-out SHINee episode. Sorry, I tried to get my alliteration in there, and I realized that I can only get in one other S. But we wanted to do just kind of like a deep dive into the group's career and what they've been able to do in their time during K-pop, and also... for any listeners that might be a little bit newer to K-pop, kind of give an introduction to them, because we suspect that since they're back from the military, they might be soon doing some activities, as Taemin has already spoiled.
Yeah.
Spoiled.
Well, that's why I suggested this episode, because you three are like, what are they called? Shawls?
Yes. We're part of the SHINee world.
I'm like so like a baby shawl. Like, all I know
baby
is
wool?
That Ki, and what?
Baby wool.
A baby wool.
That's what the shawls are called.
Yeah, I don't know anything about SHINee's discography. I just know that like Ki is hilarious, and then you love Taemin, and what's his name? Minho is hot.
That's a good foundation.
Yeah.
You can build.
One of the OG visuals of second generation K-pop.
Oh, we'll get into that.
Ooh.
All right.
Ooh. Casey, pull up the receipts.
Boom.
No.
Unscroll.
So, in light of this, we're just going to go ahead and go through some of their career highlights, and we'll each take a portion of what they've done in their very long and illustrious career. And we'll go ahead and start off from kind of their little baby days, their debut days. So, and a little bit of introduction as to what the group's all about. So Casey, did you want to kind of give the viewers a little bit of a background here?
Yes. So SHINee, serialized as capital S, capital H-I-N, lowercase e-e, was originally released as SM's answer to like contemporary R&B boy group Void in K-pop. But they came out instead with like a non-threatening boy next door type of concept, which was godsend to K-pop at the time because people loved this refreshing youthful concept. Like there was a lot of like hip, you know, harder hip hop or like beast idol concepts going around at the time. So their like youthful energy and like colorful outfits were such a breath of fresh air for the Korean public, and their debut was really well received. So
did you know that they were originally supposed to be called SM5?
Ooh, that's thank terrible. God that they weren't they got, called SM5. Then they got rid of it. So they're definitively
a good ring.
They were definitively second generation K-pop, but they are among the first SM groups to be as involved with their songwriting and composition as they were, which we know is more of a third generation K-pop type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So they're a 5-member group. I'm just going to go over like briefly like each member, starting with their oldest and the leader, Onyu, aka Lee Jinki, that's his real name, aka Dubu Leader, which means tofu. So he's the leader and main vocalist, and he's like a kind, gentle person, and he's like a very cheerful, cheesy kind of guy. Like his jokes don't really land, but they're so
a little old fashioned.
Yeah, they are. They're like dad jokes, if you will. But
like
they
Jin.
Yeah,
I would say yeah.
Yeah, but they're so endearing that it's like, and he's coming, and he's such a cute, like soft face that you laugh not because they're necessarily funny or because they're cringy, but because, you know, he's trying to lighten the mood and contribute to that mood in a way. But he, aww, aside from that, he's also a vocal powerhouse. In 2014, he got surgery for vocal polyps, which is a growth on your vocal cords. But it didn't do shit to hinder his vocal career because in 2016, this is an important, you should look this up. Look up his Nessun Dorma, that's spelled N-E-S-S-U-N space D-O-R-M-A. And it's an opera song. It's amazing. And
it's like an opera song. Do you guys know like Paul Potts or like Susan Boyle? Like that type of singer,
oh,
right?
I know, so, I know Antonio Bocelli.
Sure. So like maybe not like Andrea Bocelli, but like a more pop version of Nessun Dorma. He covered it, which is I can only imagine.
Yes. Yeah, but exactly. It doesn't stop there because he's also an actor.
Yes.
Remember him from our podcast fave, Descendants of the Sun.
Yes.
The only one to rate 10 on this pod.
The only one. We had zero criticisms. Rare.
Perfect. Yes. Perfect. I loved his storyline too. And his acting was so perfect. Like I felt that emotion when he
his crying
when
scenes.
He couldn't go back to Korea because he was stuck in wherever he was helping the people. Because he's a doctor.
So, I remember being like he's acting for his life.
You remember when Onyu kind of just like nervous laughs in that drama like all the time?
Yeah.
Like, that's him in real life.
Yeah, I feel like you were watching. Sometimes I did feel like I was watching Onyu, but then when he was in those intense, like, crying scenes, that's when I was like, he's acting for his life, for his paycheck. So that's Onyu. And next we have Junghyun, aka Kim Junghyun, aka Bling Bling is Junghyun.
Bling Bling.
What?
His nickname is Bling Bling Junghyun.
Why?
So I'm going to talk about this briefly later, but it's just one of their like early days introductions. So he is the main vocalist, and he's like known for his powerful vocals and his wide vocal range because he's not only got strong, like loud vocals. He can also do like falsettos and like softer toned songs. He's an expressive stage performer that can pull off a wide range of music genres. And please do not look up Jonghyun's 2012 Internet War performance.
Why? Does he take his shirt off?
He is entirely shirtless.
It's already off.
There's no shirt to take off. Oh. But not only that, but our sweet baby Taemin is involved in a very concerning way. So do not look that up. And if you do look it up, I did not tell you to look it up. I'm just saying.
Why? No one mentions it. Is he body rolling shirtless?
It's just very much.
I'll send you the link, Ashley, when we're done recording, so you can see.
Watch it on your own accord.
Yes. Yeah. But yeah, that's why I say I'm not endorsing you search it, but I want you to understand his range by watching this video. So he's an SM composer and songwriter, not just for SHINee, but also for other SM and non-SM artists. In fact, he's one of the artists with the most songs copyrighted under his name. He and Ki are also the crybabies of the group, fully weeping on stages into each other's or Minho's arms.
Oh, that's
that last
true.
Part. Or into Minho's arms.
Minho's strong, manly arms.
Aww. Oh, good lord.
I can't imagine Ki weeping into Minho's arms, because don't they have like a kind of like annoying brother relationship?
No, they're a married couple.
Yeah.
I thought they used to butt heads a lot.
Yeah, that's why they're called the married couple. Like, you know, the squabbling married couple trope. Yeah. I'm going to go
like,
into
it. I don't like you, but I actually love you.
But yeah. I love you. Yeah.
Oh,
I feel like, yeah, so.
I will die for you still.
Yeah, and I will still take a bullet for you, exactly. Yeah.
Exactly.
But you're annoying.
Yes. But you're annoying as hell.
Yeah. I feel like, yeah. That would be the most accurate way to describe their relationship.
I understand.
So speaking of Ki, he's the next one I'm going to cover. Ki. His real name is Kim Ki-bum. And his early days nickname is Master or Almighty Ki. Like, you know, a master key that can unlock a lot of things.
Oh, that's cute.
So originally he shared the rapper role with Minho. He's a dancer and a sub vocalist. I feel like he kind of was like a random member. Like, they kind of had him doing all these different things because he could.
Well, his nickname also on stage was Triple Threat. Sing, dance, rap.
Mm.
Everything.
I love that.
The whole package. And it's true.
Yeah. He's known to be very savage and shameless because he'll say what's on his mind. He has a reputation of being a diva and has sassy facial expressions. He's super into fashion, regardless of the gender that the article of clothing is supposed to be for. And his love of fashion is also evidenced by the names of his two poodles, Comdes and Garcon, after the Japanese fashion label. Follow them on Instagram at ComgaLife, where Ki writes sarcastic captions as though it was from them. I normally think that's cringe, but with him, it's okay.
It's super cringe, but I follow them anyways.
You're
blinded by love.
It's true. He is the English representative of the group because he was an exchange student in America for like a month. But he's super fluent and like,
dude, he's good.
Yeah, and his
sass. For a month, he's very fluent.
Yeah, I was surprised too.
He was also into like English culture for a long time.
Oh, okay.
I think that he still is.
His personality also comes out in English. Like, you know, sometimes people are different when they're speaking Korean and when they're speaking English, but he's the same. And it's amazing because, you know, it's hard, like when something is your second language and it's relatively
new. It's hard to be expressive.
Yeah. But it's like, that's why I was surprised that it was only for like a month. And, you know, usually you need constant like immersion and exposure to something.
Wait, where was he an exchange student? In America or in England?
No, in the United States.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he's also an actor. He does mostly musicals, but he also did some stuff on screen.
With Do Young's brother.
Oh, really?
From NCT, yeah.
Oh, that's why they're friends.
Oh, they are friends.
Yeah, they did a drama together.
Oh, I love
Were
that.
Were Onu and Ki also in the military musical thing?
Probably. Yeah. I think so. Yeah.
I think so. I remember seeing that.
Yes. Ki also did Ring Ding Dong in the military.
In his red military uniform.
So Next up, we have Minho, aka Choi Minho, aka Flaming Charisma Minho. He was originally main rapper and a sub vocalist, but he was mostly recruited by SM because he's hot. Literally, he's just a hot, athletic dude. But over the years, his vocals have improved and his rap flow has also improved. For context on his progress, look up his 2008 rap, Dibi Dibi Dis, My Name is Minho, because that's where the origin of all these nicknames come from. And it's also this very cringe, forbidden video among Shawls where we're like, don't claim him. But it's cute. You need to understand where he comes from.
Okay.
So he's called Flaming Charisma because his visuals are striking. He's a charismatic person that's good at a lot of things. He's notoriously kind, a man's man, and extremely passionate with a strong willpower and intensely competitive, even if it's over something stupid.
Like playing video games.
Yeah, it's literally like anything. He's going to take it way too seriously and be competitive. Among all of them, he is the most prolific actor, and he's starred in like cheesy K-dramas like To the Beautiful You and a historical drama called Hwarang, and he's also done like action movies.
Nice.
He's done a lot of like movies and shows.
Is he a good actor?
I would think so.
Like Onu? Is he acting for his life?
Okay.
Or is he...
The problem...
I don't think his dramas have had as much fame as Dots, so I don't...
I would say he's a product of the writing for these things.
Damn.
So, it's not... I would
like
say...
Like, he could do it.
Yeah, he could do it. It's just that he needs the material to bring it out of him.
Okay.
So, our last member is Taemin, aka Lee Taemin. They call him Magic Hands Taemin because he breaks things and loses things. And his verse in the Dibi Dibi Dis rap is all powerful Taemin. I don't know what that means.
Oh, I have a question about his nicknames. So every time I watch a Taemin video, they always have the cheese emoji. Like, what is... And normally in SM videos, they have like the members like emoji above them. So like, why is he cheese?
I don't know why he's cheese. That's a name he a
but
nickname
do you know
he's
what
always
I'm talking
had.
About?
Yeah, he's represented by the cheese emoji, and he's also called. He has like a bunch of random nicknames, like Poop Taemin. Like, what the fuck is that? But
ew.
I don't know. There, he's a kind of a. I would say Taemin.
I think there's
is
just
very
a lot of inside jokes to like take care of.
He's very memeable.
For.
And he's also kind of a space case, so I can see where the birth of all these random nicknames came from, because he's kind of like in his own world a lot of the time. He's the main dancer and the sub vocalist and obviously the maknae. He's known as an idol's idol because a lot of idols we know now like really look up to him and see him as like the blueprint for their own careers in K-pop. But what's interesting about Taemin is that his vocals were not originally in Replay, which is their debut song, because he was not a good singer. And Jonghyun had to help him practice to get to where he is now vocally, which is why they have similar color, similar profile
Camber.
Of their vocals, mm-hmm. because that was his model. Mm-hmm. He's known for his feminine androgynous looks. And he gets made fun of a lot because he's, like, pretty like a girl. But he's embraced it now, and he doesn't think that gender really defines him. Something that we are seeing now that all the members of SHINee are out of the military is that mischievous bratty Taemin is back. He is the group baby.
100%.
They let him get away with everything, and now he doesn't have to be responsible or, you know, polite.
I love that.
Or anything. He's just... a little piece of shit now, and I love it.
I love it so much. In their V Live that they did together, where he was like, he's asking Ki, did you tell him why we had this meeting? Yeah, I told him. Oh, so you told him we're releasing our album? And Ki just like kicks him. We said not to tell him that. I love
just
that.
Like his son, Haechan, spoiler
exactly.
King.
Exactly.
And spoiler they get away King. With it as being the youngest.
They so, totally get away with it.
I was going and to was- add to what Casey was saying about not only Taemin, and we know that like Taemin is Haechan's role model, but in general, SHINee is like a role model as a group for so many different groups that have come up. So I'm thinking about members of Seventeen who have said that SHINee have been like their kind of like gateway into wanting to become K-pop idols, not to mention like other SM
Mark
artists
Lee
as well.
Has said it too. He said it during a Super M promo.
Right. And yeah, like they're just
all of the Super M members have said a variation of that because they were like initially intimidated by working with him and having to become comfortable with him. But they're all like the same age.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Taemin debuted so freaking early.
Yeah, when he was 15.
And they're like jogging him to school and protecting him with like dear life.
Yeah, and they said there was this one interview where they were talking about how this was like in the early days, and they were talking about how Ki was like the mom of the group.
The nagging mom, maybe.
So Ki would wake up early so that he could prepare food for Taemin to like eat and bring to school.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And then Taemin
like
was also
slaving over the stove.
Yeah. And like he is sassy and savage, but he cares a lot about his members. And there was another story where they were saying that like Taemin was bullied in his school. Cause he's just very feminine looking. And you know, the members are quick to like protect him and reassure him. And I think that's why Taemin is very confident and like knows he can get away with anything because their relationship was built when he was going through a really hard time. But yeah, he's their baby. They're all back. And now we're starting from the beginning with their debut song Replay on Music Core on May 25th, 2008, which is 13 years ago.
Wow.
Yes. So this song was a huge hit because, like I said earlier, it was a refreshing, playful concept, and it was age appropriate for them since their youngest member, which was Taemin, was 15 and Onyu was 18. So this was definitely like perfect for them. And
Victoria was featured. Victoria of FX was featured.
Yes,
in
as
the
music
Nuna,
video. As the Nuna Yomoyepon.
As the Nuna. She kind of looks older. She's actually not that old, but she has a very mature look.
Yeah.
So I thought that it was like very appropriate that they were marketing her prior to FX's debut. I will say that I saw this meme on not meme, but like this caption on Instagram recently, and it was like, dude, Nuna Replay is like the only debut song that could like make you cry. And it was like they're playing like the they always do this as kind of like, you know, in their recent concerts, everyone's just like crying when Replay comes on.
When they were singing it like slowly, they sang like a slowed down bedroom.
Yeah, and it's so funny
because
you're saying like, God. Like your older sister is like too pretty, and everyone's just like.
And even as they were singing it, there was like tears in their eyes. They're like, and I was like, okay, yeah, I get that. It's like an emotional, like it harkens back to their beginnings. But at the same time, if you're like, if you know the lyrics,
thinking about the lyrics,
like,
it's like weird.
Okay. But regardless, that debut year for them was a huge success. They won Best New Asian Artist at the Asia Song Festival, Newcomer Album of the Year at the Golden Disc Awards, and Best New Male Group, at the Mamas and more. There's like a bunch of other like little awards they won in between.
Yeah, they were like the first ones to kind of coined the term like rookie grand slam, so like they won rookie of the year at basically all the year-end awards, which now we know people like groups like ITZY and TXT have kind of done. Right, so you know that kind of just goes to show you what they accomplished, but also like SHINee is kind of like the first ones to kind of do that as a rookie group. So I thought that was really cool too. I'll go ahead and kind of take it from there for a little bit. During their debut year, they also had like other pretty good hits. They got their first win during their debut year on their comeback Love Like Oxygen. And I don't know if you all are familiar with the song, but it's the one where they're always trolling Jungyeon because he's using like his weird sing speak voice. And they just always troll him in his part. He goes, like the, I don't know.
They troll him for a lot of his vocals. Like, they make fun of his, because he tries to imitate Michael Jackson sometimes, because that's one of his idols. So they'll always troll him for his vocals, and it's aww, it's cute.
Yeah, so there's this one interview where it's like early on, like during Fire Truck era for NCT 127, and they ask Tail like, "Oh, like who do you like? Who's your role model?" And he's like, "Oh, like I really like Jonghyun. I really like his voice, and he's kind of like my model." And he's and then the radio host is like, "Oh, can you sing something from him?" And he's like, "Oh, like I don't know if I'm allowed to." And Tail's like, are you sure? Like, I'm allowed to? And then he also does, like, the trolling voice for Jonghyun during Love Like Oxygen, right? So,
cute.
I was like, oh my gosh, I respect Tail even more now. in any case, they got their first win on M Countdown on that show, and then they released Amigo, which was a follow-up. So they had three kind of stages during that year, and that's what won them kind of like the Rookie of the Year award. But after that is kind of like the point of time where they kind of rose to fame, right? We know in K-pop, you gotta have your hit that is gonna be covered for the rest of eternity if you are going to like be a staple in K-pop. And this was it for them. Right, so they did Ring Ding Dong, which we all know gets stuck in everyone's head.
Which is why it's banned during exam season.
So I was going to say that.
Oh, sorry.
I didn't know that.
So it's funny. So I think what Casey is like mentioning is that I saw like this like article on like one of the K-pop sites, and it's like 10 songs never to listen to when you're like doing something serious, like preparing for an exam, because you don't want like a song stuck in your head, like to constantly be in your head while you're concentrating.
Oh, yeah. Okay,
and I saw that article, and then I started singing Ring Ding Dong, like when I was like taking an exam, and I was like, I'm not going to do well because this is all I can think about.
Because now all I can think about is how I'm only singing Ring Ding Dong.
Right.
Head empty, no thoughts, ring, just ring ding, ding, ding,
ding dong. Exactly. So
ding, 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 ding.
That was kind of like their...
Damn, it's stuck in my head now too.
Like, it shot them up.
Shot them up, here. Right? Like made them like huge group. And we still see Ring Ding Dong being covered today.
Isn't that like a meme song though?
Yes.
Yeah, it's like it can be kind of seen as like a troll song, but it's like, it's very popular.
It was popular, like charted at number one type of thing.
Yeah, I think that
very energetic.
It's a good song.
It's a K-pop, like performance or choreography and everything. Like it's very, very energetic.
Ding, ding, ding. Ding, ding.
Yeah. Ding. So after Ring Ding Dong, they did. So I think, you know, it's really hard for K-pop groups to get their one hit, right? It's super hard to get a viral song. That was Ring Ding Dong. But I think the groups that really, really make it for history is if you have like back-to-back bangers, because like people then realize that you're not a one-hit wonder. And like all of a sudden, you now have two songs that are being covered for the rest of eternity. And this was their second, their immediate release after they came out with Lucifer. And Lucifer is kind of like, if you ever watch the music video, it's kind of like punk rock concept, but not a punk rock song.
With their mullets, with their mullet,
really, really
this era that, in their hair,
tank tops,
is it thick the eyeliner one with long Seen Boy hair?
Yes, yeah. Long Taemin hair.
All five of them have Seen Boy hair, though.
Key kind of has Grinch, like the emo cut,
and the asymmetrical. Really
thick, yes, asymmetrical, like parted in one way to the right or to the left. Thick eyeliner, right? But like their song totally isn't punk rock. What it's probably best known for is like the emergence of like their tutting. So they do a lot with their hands in terms of the choreography.
That machine and, choreo that they did where they use Taemin like in the middle. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Wait, I don't know if that's Lucifer or everybody. Oh, was it? Anyways.
I don't know.
So Lucifer was their big again, another huge hit, and that those were over kind of like a million views on YouTube, which back then were, it's like huge. I mean, it's still pretty big now. Think about what it was like early 2010s, right? So those two were kind of like the ones that shot them up to fame and kind of created them as, you know, pretty much like a staple of the K-pop world, like during that time. So I'll go ahead and pass the baton to Ashley.
Okay. So I'm going to cover the era that Nathan categorizes as their peak, which I don't know if it would be their peak because...
I think it's contested.
Yeah. Okay. It's what Nathan considers their peak.
I will say why.
Okay, so I'm covering like 2013 era when they released Misconceptions of You and Dream Girl. I don't even know. Wait, what is the name of? No, it's The Misconceptions of Us. And it was released in two parts. The first part, the title track being Dream Girl, and the second part being Why So Serious. Just for the listeners, I did research on this era, but I don't really know anything about it. So I'm just going to like list chronologically things that happened. And then I'll tell you what I think is significant about this, what I think is significant. So like they released that album, The Misconception of Us. Then they released a Japanese album. They started a Japanese world tour. Shiny World 2013. They won Artist of the Year at the Melon Music Awards, which I saw a clip of them accepting their award, and Minho was like
sobbing,
and they were all sobbing. It was so cute, actually. Like it was to the point where he couldn't like speak because he was sobbing so much. Like,
so I say that this is kind of like their peak is because in terms of accolades, this was when they were finally recognized as the pinnacle of K-pop.
Oh, okay. Because they won their first ever.
Yeah, because after they just started to coast, right? As like, I'm like, we're SHINee. But like, you know, prior to this, they had never been... Like, think about it. You know, in the 2010s, like, minus EXO, BTS, IU, like, who's winning day songs? Like, it's really hard, right? Because there's so much competition there. Big Bang is also in the loop right now, especially when they released their Made album, right? Which was the same year as, well, Chris will probably talk about it, but the same year that they released Odd, right? So I think with this, it meant so much to them was because they finally got... like Artist of the Year, mm-hmm. you know, from these.
Yeah. So after they won that award at the Melon Music Awards, they held their third ever solo concert, SHINee World 3, and that sparked off their, that was their concert in Korea, and that started their world tour that added stops in Latin America. Then they had their third Japanese album and another Japanese tour, and they ended 2014 on Forbes Korea Power Celebrity list. So what in reviewing this, what was significant to me is that they seemed like they were equally as popular in Korea as they were in Japan, mm-hmm. because they were hosting mm-hmm. like solo Japan tours there.
They're like huge in Japan. I think this goes also with, you know, that was SM's plan for a lot of first and second generation idols was you got to make it in Korea. You have to make it in Japan too.
He for sure has been wanting to like delve into the Japanese market for a while, and he like has like worldly sights other than Korea for a while.
Yeah, their Japanese discography is really good too. So,
yeah,
their Japanese performances are something.
They
else.
Go hard.
They go yeah. hard. I would say that they withhold a lot in Korea So it's worth checking out their Japanese stages to get a full scope of like who they are as artists as well.
Especially like the Tokyo Dome stages where you're just like looking at them and like the stage is so huge. Like it just hits differently than like when you have like a very like a similar stage in America, because the stages that are built in America, the stadium tours, are not meant yet for K-pop stages, right? But places like Tokyo Dome, they know that they're going to do really hard-hitting choreo. They know they need the space. They know that they need multiple platforms. They know that they need moving platforms to get to all of the people, right? So it hits so differently when I'm watching like a Tokyo Dome like concert. Anyways, I got excited.
You okay?
I can tell you put your hands up.
Wow.
Sorry. I will also say that I think that if you were to interview them, I would say that I would think that they would say Dream Girl is actually one of the hardest choreos that they had to learn. It's because they had to learn how to manipulate the mic stands. And there's like a video on YouTube which dissects like one of their Dream Girl stages and like pinpoints like 10 parts where they're like troubleshooting issues and how well they do it, because it's so difficult in terms of why there's so much going on. So we'll also link that video for the listeners. Yeah. In any case, didn't they also at that time, wasn't it Everybody also when they came up with the dubstep release?
I think so.
Oh, why did I not cover that?
Yeah, I think that was right after where you stopped. So, I mean...
Oh, yeah. So that was like around the time when, was it Skrillex was really popular and dubstep was really big in America. And so they did a dubstep version of Everybody, or like Everybody is kind of a dubstep song.
Yeah.
And according to that one video that you sent, Nathan, it didn't go like, it was like okay in Korea. But
I love that song.
I love that song too. It's a bop now.
Yeah, I think it got potentially more popular after it stopped promoting.
Yeah, I could see that.
That choreo hits hard. All right. Thank you, Ashley. We'll shift it over to Chris.
Yes, so my section is where they're starting to already be recognized as these K-pop veterans. Their success has already been established. And so I take it with their Odd album, which was released on May 18th, 2015. View was their comeback single. I have Ring Ding Dong in my head now that I can't even like think of it. I was like trying to sing it in my head like 30 seconds ago.
I love you. You know the choreo.
I can think of the song, the I don't know. Man, I have so many good songs.
This is why we don't listen or talk about Ring Ding Dong during important situations.
I can't get it out of my head now. Okay, anyways. So View was actually produced by Jonghyun.
Mm-hmm. I love that song.
I did not know that. Yeah. So View, apparently, I was reading some reviews on the album and what some press had to say. And they were saying that View is the typical K-pop shine, or not K-pop, but like shiny sound, right? But the rest of the Odd album started introducing more electronic sounds, and so then they were saying that it was a big bold move for shiny because they started to stray away into different sounds and what they have been established as. That was Odd. And then Jonghyun had a solo in between in May of 2016. He came out with his solo album, She Is.
Mm-hmm. I love that song too.
Oh, She Is. It sounds like Oh Shit when I first listened to it. Yeah, people were saying
Oh Shit. And then we get my favorite era, which is my background right now. Hold on. Where are you? Own you. Okay, they're pressing their faces right now. Then we have the One of One album. And this is by far the most... it goes with the theme that K-pop is going into right now. It's retro, but it's 90s, and it's colorful, and it's bright. It has it just has all good songs. It has one of my all-time favorite songs, Married to the Music. I wrecked that one time in the pod in the past.
Ah. Wait, so it goes View, and then it was repackaged Married to the Music, and then One of One.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. One of One, okay, so it was View, which was odd. One of One came out, and I'm totally blanking on the song that you and I like, Nathan.
Which one?
Oh my gosh. I'm totally blanking right now.
Anyways, continue.
Anyways, and then they repackage One of One to Married to the Music.
Oh, okay. So Married to the Music was a release on a repackage?
Yeah.
It was a repackage for sure.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. What was the title of One of One?
Married to the Music.
No, Married to Music was the repackaged title.
Yeah.
What was the title of the non-repackaged?
One of One.
Oh,
like the original, like what was it?
I think it was View. You have to look that up. I'm not sure. I think it was View.
Interesting.
Anyways, it was a repackage for sure during this time that Chris is going over.
Yeah. I'm just relating it in my mind. Like, I'm imagining if Punch did better than Kick It.
No.
I wouldn't say so. Yeah. Yeah, Kick It for sure did better. I was just going to say that was going to go into my next part, that actually both albums did stay peak at number one on the Gaon charts and stayed there. So, you know, again, they're K-pop veterans at this point. Their success has been established in this era.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still making like really great music. And this is also, I came in during like View era and I was like, damn, I missed so much. But it was so easy to kind of like go down the rabbit hole, like, and that's how kind of like K-pop got introduced to me, because I had kind of known about EXO before, but then during when they were promoting View, it was at the same time EXO was producing Love Me Right, and I just went down like the rabbit hole, because you know, when the companies decide to kind of put them together during promotion, they do encore stages together. And I was like, oh, who are these people? That for me, I knew about EXO first. Mm-hmm. So then I was like, who are these people?
Oh my
that
God,
EXO
you're such
are
an
like,
SM whore.
Yes, I am. And I was like, wait, who are these people that are like bowing to SHINee? Who are these people that are, I mean, why are they bowing to these people?
Yeah.
Why is EXO bowing to these people, and why are they so timid around them? Like, they're friends, but they're also like, oh shoot, they're still their seniors. So I was like, they're acting kind of strange. Who are these people? And that was my, well, here we go, all the way down a couple more years to.
Oh, because you didn't know like how.
I didn't know much about them before, like. Part
okay,
from View.
and how like they treat their sunbaes and everything.
Right,
too.
I didn't know that companies were a thing, and that like.
Oh, I love that.
And then I just went all the way down and then saw their content with Girls' Generation, saw their content with FX, and then it was just all downhill
Enter
from
K-pop
there.
World.
Exactly. At least that was it for me. But it was also because I just loved their music during like this time. But
yeah,
okay.
I would say View is one of my favorites. And I like that I know that the music video is like sweaty and horny. But
yeah.
I like that. It was like a deconstructed version of SHINee. Because it's not,
still
you know,
classy,
there's
though.
No big hair. There's no crazy
right.
outfits.
There's no, yeah.
I love
very
that they're at the club and they're drinking and they're hooking up with them.
Running around
girls.
In the
Thai girls, yeah.
Yeah, shirtless.
Yeah, that's true. all right. Pick it up from there, Casey.
Okay, so following I think their last comeback from that point would be 2016, and then obviously it's, you know, famous in Korea. This is global news, and the news went all around the world when on December 18th, 2017, Jonghyun was found dead in his apartment from an apparent suicide attempt after suffering from severe depression. And at the time, I mean, I knew who SHINee was just because, like, I lived in the Philippines during high school, and K-pop is huge there. And I saw Sherlock era photos and everything. So I knew who Shiny was. And I didn't realize at the time when I saw that news, because it was all over like Tumblr, I think was, mm-hmm. I was really into Tumblr at the time. Yeah. And so that's how I found out. And so so at the time, you know, the K-pop world lost like an artist, a poet, a performer, a songwriter. But, you know, the Shiny members lost their brother. And mm-hmm. I remember watching the funeral, like, processions. And there's this scene that's, like, burned into my mind of, like, Ki is weeping into Onyu's back. And Onyu is, like, strong and, like, stoic. And then next to him is Minho. He's comforting Jonghyun's sister at the funeral. And she's holding his portrait. And Taemin's kind of, like, towards the back, just kind of, like, neutral. But that's just how he is.
They also wouldn't force the youngest to do much, I think.
At No, of course. That's why Onyu was at the front, was, you know, he's the leader and he's like being strong for them. And I also want
to...
Go ahead.
Sorry. And I think that also has a lot to say about his facial expression, too.
Whose?
This Onyu's.
Oh, yeah.
That he has to be like stoic, strong, yeah. And like, because he's a leader and all that.
And so it takes great strength to be... you know, strong in these moments. And he's such a cheerful person. And like, it's a really a testament to his character that he showed up for his members in that way, in that time. Mm-hmm. And Minho too, being there for Jonghyun's sister is like, mm-hmm. you're taking care of his family, even though he's gone. And it's just like, this is their character. Like, this is who Shiny is. And that's rare in general for people.
Yeah. So, Onyu, I think that, you know, he would have liked to have someone to have a shoulder to cry mm-hmm. on, you know, in that moment. But, you know, as the leader, he, you know, felt some kind of responsibility, I think, to keep it together. Mm-hmm. But the news came out later was that another portion of the story as to why he wasn't showing much emotion was because he couldn't. And he had to receive a mental health, you know, appointments to mm-hmm. to be able to properly grieve because couldn't cry, he said.
Yeah. And they talk about that in an interview. He does say that he's like, they made him talk to someone because he wouldn't cry and he mm-hmm. couldn't cry.
He couldn't. He tried. He legitimately couldn't.
Yeah. He tried, but he couldn't.
Yeah. Like in the video that I'm talking about, like, so Ki leans into his back and he's just like sobbing into Onyu's back. And then Onyu turns around to, like, hold Ki in his arms, like, so Ki could, like, weep. And you look at Onyu's face and it's just blank. Like, there's just – and that's – I mean, I definitely – I didn't hold that against him or anything.
No.
They each – you know, they were going through a lot. They each grieve in their own ways. And, you know, everyone does that differently and shows, like, emotion differently. So I want to share Jonghyun's final message – and also his final, like, will that his friend shared. So his final text to his sister read, "I've had a hard time. Please let me go and say that I did a good job. This is my last goodbye." And that was her indication to notify, like, authorities and believe that her brother had, like, harmed himself. And that's why they showed up in that moment, and they were even able to take him to the hospital, and that's where he passed, and not necessarily at his apartment.
Okay.
And then later, his close friend Jang Hae-yeon of Dear Cloud published his suicide note, which ended with a similar sentiment to his last message to his sister, which says, "Please tell me I did a good job. You've worked hard. You've really gone through a lot." And that's why a lot of fans will share that message whenever, mm-hmm. you know, it's his birthday or the anniversary of his death, was to reassure him that he did do a good job and that he can rest.
Yeah. And I will say that it's really heartbreaking for a lot of Shawls because the message in a lot of his songs, I'm probably referencing oh, goodness. End of the Day, right? Mm-hmm. The ending of the song basically talks about, Well, first of all, he wrote it to comfort people, specifically students that were going through such a hard time with preparing for education exams. We know in mm-hmm. Korea that's, you know, basically mm-hmm. everything. Mm-hmm. And he wrote, you know, in the song, he at the end, he's like, yeah, you suffered a lot and you worked hard and you're my pride, you know. So it was so heartbreaking for a lot of Shawls because those words in his songs probably saved so many lives, right? But mm-hmm. it's something that he always wanted. He clearly wanted to feel and wanted to be affirmed.
Yeah, I mean, his depression wasn't a secret. Like, these are topics that he addressed in his music, like you said. And also on his radio show, Blue Night, he shared a lot of these sentiments and offered words of comfort to his listeners who he knew were, like, young students. And also in his 2015 novel, Skeleton Flower, Things That Have Been Released and Set Free, was a testament to his depression and how he's been dealing with it and how it kind of feeds into his songwriting process as well. So I know that, like, you know, we don't try to get, like, hella personal on the pod, but this Jonghyun is special to me, and I'm not saying that I'm grateful for, you know, his death, but because of his death, I'm not alone anymore. December 18 is hard for me because that's my nephew's death anniversary too, also by suicide. And for a long time I was alone, but now I have Jonghyun and Shiny on that day every year. So I just want to thank him for his life and his career and for putting so much beauty and poetry into the world, even though he didn't feel like, you know, like the pressures got to him and he was suffering from depression. Like, he saved a lot of lives and he's saving mine every day and every year. And for anyone else who's, like, suffering from depression or feeling, you know, alone in the world, know that, like, I understand you, Jonghyun understands you, and Shiny definitely understands you, and you're not alone. No one's ever truly alone, so, like, please reach out. Like, I know we've touched on this, like, when Sully passed as well from suicide, and Guhara, reach out to someone, you know. There's a lot of resources out there. We're happy to share them in the bio of this episode, but suicide is too common, especially in South Korea, where there's a lot of pressures with mm-hmm. academics, with fame. There's always someone out there who will understand. Mm-hmm. And if you want to, you know, pick yourself up out of the darkness, in January 23rd of 2018, so like a month or so after Jonghyun's passing, SM posthumously released his final solo album, Poet Artist, where it was all finished before he passed, so because he was set to come back in January. And it's got such great tracks. They're like upbeat yes. pop, but they're also like, there's some like trap elements to it, I would also say. Like, it was such a gift that really helped a lot of people recover from this blow to the K-pop world, and
wins on Music Bank.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it got posthumous wins, which is crazy.
Yeah. It Billboard called it the second best album out of 2018.
Behind BTS. Such a good album. And for me, I loved it so much because it was like literally like a piece of him.
Yes.
Like, it was also one that he definitely played such a big part in producing, and it was just a piece of his soul, I thought. And I was like, when I was listening to my personal favorite on the album is Before Our Spring, right? And it's mm-hmm. It's an allusion back to his depression was seasonal, so he got a lot of he felt the weight of his mental health kind of getting worse during the winter, and it, you know, longs for spring to come again, and that's kind of what the song's about. But I loved that album. I still play it to this day. I think, Casey, you might mention this too, but SM also created the Shiny Foundation, which...
Yeah. So the proceeds of that album went to his mother, and she used the proceeds to start Shinin Foundation in September 2018. And it's a foundation that helps struggling young artists, and it protects Jeonghyun's legacy.
Yeah. Yeah. And I will also add that because his passing was so close to like the end of the year, like in December, so many, like he touched so many lives. Right. Like, I also, like Casey, have watched some of the proceedings, and I watched also who showed up to greet Shiny, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. during that. And it's like NCT, everyone comes.
BTS. EXO,
everyone. Like everyone in the entertainment industry. Every K-pop group. Right. Like Shiny was not a political group. Like they were respected by all. Hence, everyone is paying respect to Jungkook. But I specifically felt so bad. And this was like... For me, because I'm an SM stan, like I follow literally every SM artist. I know what they're doing because I also appreciate their music the most. And it appeals to my taste the most. And, you know, it was so hard for especially the people in his company because they had built such strong relationships with him. And I know that this is kind of like a small thing, but it, like SM family gives me like the ooh-oohs. So in their 2017 end of the year stages, you'll see subtly that all of the SM artists have a ribbon that they're wearing. So if you watch Red Velvet's performances and all of the end of the year stages, if you watch NCT, I don't think had been invited to any of the year end stages yet because they were just children. If you see any of EXO's performances in 2017, there's a ribbon that they're all wearing that says rest in peace Jungkook, and it's black,
that's sweet.
Yeah, it's a black ribbon, and it's in pearl aqua, which is Shiny's color. So it's like if you think of the people that like not like leaders in K-pop groups but like representatives, he was going to be, I felt like, the next SM representative because he like advocated for that company like crazy. Like like, if you were to fast forward and if he was still here today, he would be the one, like, emceeing, like, literally, if there was, like, an SM Town concert, I feel. Because he was, like, he was SM. Like, one of the hearts and souls of SM. But in any case, sorry, Casey.
No. It's good. They did release that posthumous final solo album. And after, like, a lot of deliberation, Shiny decided that they were going to stay together and come back as a four-member group in May so they could have their 10-year anniversary together. This is when they released the Story of Light, May 28th to June 25th. It was, like, a three-part EP. EP. I always forget, like, what the classifications of, like, EPs and albums are.
Yeah.
Like, I literally...
The lines are blurred now.
Okay. Yeah, because I remember episodes, Ashley explained it to me, but now I'm like, what the hell? Because some EPs are hella long, some albums are hella short, so whatever.
Yeah. Casey, do you remember if they did their huge Japanese concert before or after the Story of Light?
I'm pretty sure it was before because that's where they paid tribute. And right. They sang what was it? What did they sing?
They sang a lot of tribute songs.
There was one that's like burned into my mind where there's like spotlights on each of them.
And white suits.
Yeah, in white suits. And they put like
they left
a
spotlight.
Yeah, yeah, there's a spotlight in the middle for an empty mic stand. And that's where Jonghyun's spot is. And fuck, dude, like the tears come
that
every time.
Kills me every single time watching that.
I can't watch it.
I know that one.
Yeah, I've seen it before. From Now On, which was their Japanese release. And that's when the stage that Casey's talking about.
Oof.
So like to do a concert, literally, I think this was in the spring, like a couple of months later. Like, goodness.
I mean,
God.
They didn't get through it like without weeping. There was parts where they would stop yeah. singing because they were just crying.
Right.
And I remember seeing interviews that they were saying that, because I think other people interviewing them would ask them the same thing, like, you know, this just happened to you. Like, how are you back out there? And they would say, it's like, this is our tribute to him mm-hmm. because we know that he would want us back out here.
Yeah. And it's important to note in the interviews, they also say how SM did not push them to do it. They said, yeah. Got to cancel, do cancel. And yeah. I think that they were going to operate under the assumption that it was going to be canceled.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jonghyun's death definitely shined a spotlight on how, like, mental health issues and depression and anxiety are handled in the K-pop world, like idols specifically. So SM was being very careful to be like, whatever space you need, whatever help you need, like, we have to give it to you. So they came back of their own accord. Like, they had these performances of their own accord. They came back with the track Good Evening. And it reminded the world that SHINee are not just vocal kings, but they have the choreo and concept to back it up. And they also pay tribute to Jungyeon in the music video by representing him as a fox, which I looked it up. And according to Chinese mythology, a fox is seen as a signal from the spirit of the deceased.
Aww.
So in the video, they're like in a forest, which also a forest is like the in-between the spirit world and like the human world. If anyone's seen King Eternal Monarch, he goes into between dimensions in the forest.
I didn't watch it, but that's interesting.
Yeah. So the music video for Good Evening is like mostly in a forest, and then like Onew looks down and there's like a little CGI fox looking back at him, and everyone's like, that's Jungyeon.
Ever since, I think when we covered Good Evening in K-Box, that's when you guys told me about the fox. And ever since then, I've noticed it. Like, even on the album artwork,
there's a fox. Mm-hmm.
There's a fox tail.
Yeah, there's outline of a fox tail. Mm-hmm. And in the ending of Good Evening's music video, his shadow is there in the well. I don't know if... Well, I'll send it to you all.
I know. I have to look back at it.
Yeah, there's like a lot of, like, following that release, there was a lot of like all these crazy analysis of it. Because, you know, everyone wants to see them acknowledge Jungyeon or pay tribute to him in some way. So that's what a lot of fans were looking for. So you're going to find a shit ton of like analysis online on this music video and like the song in general. But yeah, So picking it back up later that year is when Onew decided to enlist into the military on December 10th, and then followed by Ki a few months later, March 14th of 2019. And then on April 15th of that year, Minho joined the Marine Corps. And honestly, he belongs there because him in that military uniform, chef's kiss. Ki is not suited for it. Very, very, very much so. But
oh, and he knows that. He knows that.
Oh, the moment he could, he was out of there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a question. Was Ki's solo album like his album before he left to the military?
Well, yeah, it was.
Which one? Wait, Face?
What's
the
your question?
One? The green one? Where he's like standing.
One of those nights.
Yeah. One of those nights.
Yes.
Yes. That was before he left to the military?
Yeah. These were all before he left.
Yeah. They have had no activity while they were in the military. It was only Taemin that's been releasing solo because, I mean, he's the only one that was, like, not in the military.
But Ki had done, like, a series of several releases. He did the album, but he also did some singles, too.
Sorry. Okay. One of those nights is not the name of the album. Face is the name of the album.
I love this girl, Stacey Nam. She is such a good interviewer of SHINee because obviously she's a shawl, but she also is like very well spoken. She knows what to ask. She's also like fluent in English and in Korean. So she's good at like kind of
reading the room.
Reading the room and gearing her questions towards like both audiences because she is more of like her content is more for like Western audiences. And in that interview she did with Ki about his solo, he said that she asked him like why he called it Face,
And he said that, well, Taemin's album is called Ace, and then Junghyun's is called Bass, so I wanted to be following the same rhyme scheme, and I just said face, because it's my face.
Oh, cute.
I love it.
Typical Key.
I love typical that. Key. I love that album. I can listen to the Face album, like, over and over again.
It's a really
he also
good
has
album.
A few English songs. Like, I think I was shocked at there was one song I think that was all English on that album. I'm not too sure though. Can't think back.
It's interesting how different they are in their solo stuff than when they're like all together.
Oh yeah.
But now everyone is out of the military and we might be looking at a SHINee comeback either at the end of this year, early next year, hopefully. But
wow, so soon.
I know. Yeah. That's
said
just
before
like
the end of the. They said before the end of the winter. Well, Taemin did.
Maybe a single.
Taemin, spoiler king.
Maybe a single.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be like a full album, but.
Think about it. Minho got out of the military, and the very next day, they already had a meeting about their album.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's true. He went straight in his military. I forgot what it's called.
Uniform.
Yeah, not uniform, but there's like a specific term for it because it was like the camo print.
Oh.
You know, it's not like the formal. Anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
He went straight to see them.
Oh, I saw that video.
Yeah, because he fucking loves them. Yeah.
I love fucking Key with this. You couldn't even go change.
Yes.
Get out of here. You're embarrassing.
Yeah.
And then literally 5 seconds later, gives Minho the biggest bear hug
with
I've ever
biggest-
seen.
Smile on his face.
Yeah, but the smile was during the hug, so Minho couldn't see his smile, which is again very Key. And then Eunwoo stayed seated and Minho went and like leaned down to hug him and then just put his full body weight down on him.
Yes. I'm Eunwoo's jacket in that scene. Stuck in the Eunwoo Minho sandwich.
I'm Eunwoo's leg in between Minho's legs.
Yeah, I mean you know, we come to accept and get to appreciate that all basically K-pop members are like close, but like you know, with all of their history and with everything that's happened, I can't
this is different.
Yeah, this is, you know, all K-pop groups are brothers, they're sisters, but like, yo, these SHINee members are blood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's just some like that's why when I was watching that the funeral processions at Junghyun's funeral, I felt like they totally understood me. And I know I say that a lot because like I'm a fangirl and that's just the standard thing, but like experiencing death, especially for suicide, is confusing and isolating. But in that moment, I felt like there were people out there that I could like consume content from and watch interviews with, who could talk and create things for me and see like and be like a beacon of light and like inspiration for people who've gone through like the worst things in the world. And look at them, they're so happy, they're shining light on us, they're back to save K-pop.
Back to save 2020.
Yes. Oh, the best thing to come out of 2020 is these boys being discharged.
Yes.
And Taemin can be a baby again. A brat.
Immediately, like, first 5 minutes of the V Live, he's just showing off all his English skills that he's acquired to Key.
From fucking like, Super M?
Yeah.
From Mark?
Taemin's English is just, today is Thursday, tomorrow is Friday. And
oh
meanwhile,
gosh.
You could see Key's face. He's just like, what? He's just like
he's
making
like,
this
adorable.
Side eye.
He's like,
he
I
loves
already learned
it.
This. You don't
yeah,
know
he was
this
like,
already.
Who taught you this?
Yeah. Yeah.
He's been spending time with Mark and Ten. That's why.
Yes. Watch out. Taemin is English king now.
Yeah. I'll go ahead and kind of wrap up the conversation and say, you know, like what's going to be next for them? I mean, comeback. I think hopefully we'll see some variety show appearances.
Oh, yes. That would warm my heart.
I need variety like show content.
I think what they're doing right now is making sure that the public remembers them. So I think that's why.
Oh, we remember them.
But I think, like, you still need to rebuild. And I think that's what SM is telling ONU to do specifically, because ONU is never one that wants to be in the spotlight.
He's just okay. A little baker boy.
Yeah, he's okay with just like, you could be the face of the group. I'll just hold down the fort, right? Mm-hmm. The guy that does all the background work. And I think that they're saying like, we have to rebuild, I think, a little bit of rapport with people, even though Shawls are loyal.
Oh, so that's why they have all that content right now for ONU.
Right. I think that that's why they're doing a lot of ONU content. I'm not saying he doesn't want to do it, but it feels, I'm so glad that it's out there, but it also feels slightly not his personality because ONU doesn't do vlogs.
What is he doing?
Yeah.
He vlogs.
He's serving fish cakes for the, you know, it was fish cakes, breads, right?
Yeah, fish breads.
Fish breads to the fans. Like, they were lining up but and he was handing them out personally.
He's also doing, like concept vlogs, though. Like, ones that are purposeful. Like, not ones that are just V-Live. He's doing, like, the series where, like, he's Taemin's manager.
Oh, yeah, that was, to, yeah. Like,
oh, I saw that.
Right, so, but that's not, like, ONU. Like, a concept vlog. Right? Like, maybe he would turn on VLive and talk to the fans, right? So I'm thinking they're telling him, like, you know, like, let's.
This is how it is now.
Yeah, let's do something.
This is how we promote you now.
Which I think, like, I mean, ONU is signed with an entertainment company, right? It's not like he's just gonna, like, sit there and do nothing.
Yeah. But
it's just a good way for fans to get to know him again, right?
Yeah.
And I think that that's what Shiny's gonna do first, and then start. Like, they've done so many, like, V lives in the last, like, 2 weeks. Like, every single day I open my Instagram, it's curated. It knows what I want. So, like, I always see, like, the highlight clips of, like, of an Instagram live that, like, Key did, or, like, a V live that ONU and Minho did together, or, like, a YouTube content release or something, right? So I think they're preparing, you know, for building some kind of soil, laying some kind of foundation for a new song or something like that. Yeah.
I'm ready. I'm so ready.
I'm so ready.
I have a comment.
Yes.
So I've mostly been, like, observing you guys this whole time because I'm like, I like Shiny as... I like members of Shiny, and I like Shiny's music just, like, generally, but I've noticed that for people who have been fans of Shiny, like, prior to, I don't know, like, recent history, like, pre-military leaves, it seems as though, like, the fans have, like, a deeper connection with the group because you guys all experienced something traumatic together. And so I think now that Shiny is...
trauma bonded?
Yeah, well, I mean that, like...
That's what happens.
Yeah. And for me, it's hard to, like, connect with Shiny because as I do, like, I do sympathize with the situation, but I wasn't, like...
K-pop fandom.
Yeah, I wasn't a K-pop fan then. I don't know any of the members in that way. And so... I think now that they're coming back, they're going to have a strong base following them because of all the past people that were with them before. And so now it's just like...
They're trying to... So it's like when... So like for these ONU vlogs, for example, it's for, I think, new people.
Yeah.
For them to kind of
It's for say, the people like me.
Kind of. Like people that like are potential new fans, right?
Yeah. Or people that are, you know, they watch JCC and they know that if they watch this YouTube video, they're going to get some good content. So that I feel like that's kind of what ONU is doing in these blogs too right now. It's kind of like his version of JCC because as end citizens are used to that. And so here's another group that can give them that.
Right. That's
in my opinion, it's a little bit weird though. Like, I think I made this comment in a previous pod how it's like... Like, older people trying to do, like, young people things. You know, that's how it feels like to me.
I understand that, but, like...
I understand that, too.
How is... I guess, you know, then how are they supposed to get back into the industry?
Yeah.
Because we know that... I was going to say this. Like, we know that K-pop isn't just music. You have to be good at singing. You have to have a good dancer. You have to have a good
personality.
You have to have a good visual. You have to be good on variety shows. You have to do every, you have to have someone in your group that does it the best, right? So I think they're, you know, even if they're not doing music, they have to, as in order to get back in the game, right? They've been out for pretty long, and you know, 1 month the K-pop industry is like different from the other. It's rapidly changing.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it moved to you know, created content.
Virtual content. Yeah.
To created content to get to know like in like a non-music kind of way. So like I guess the question would be like, how else are they supposed to like get back into people's minds? Because you can't have a comeback like every week, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like they have to do something, right? And I think that they're making use of these mini episodes.
Mediums.
Yeah, these these episodes to, you know, just to remind people of who they are, and also try to reel in
introduce
some new
themselves
people.
Too.
Yeah. Maybe that's also why they kept putting Taemin and like all of these. Maybe that's why they put Taemin in Super M with the NCT members, so they could get that like.
Oh.
Yeah, you know what? It's so interesting that you bring that up because I think that it's true. When you're coming up, right, it's like EXO is introducing SHINee is introducing their juniors, right, to the stage, right? And as you age, you rely on the younger folks to kind of put you back into the mix, right? So I think that to an extent that kind of happened with Super Junior. You know, they're kind of a veteran group now, but they are somewhat being...
They're out of the spotlight.
They're out of the spotlight, and they're kind of relying on their youngsters to kind of pull them back in. I think that...
TVXQ.
Right? Right?
Yeah. So,
hence why NCT was appearing for,
on their concert, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you have to get... You know, that's just how you do it.
Yeah.
Right? So...
Gateway drug everyone using NCT, basically.
But, like, here's what I'll say. Like... Everyone has still been covering, like, SHINee stuff. Like, for example, like, CIX just did, like, a replay cover. And this is, like, the year of our Lord 2020. like, November, right? So it's, like, they've always still been in the game. And, we just wanted to introduce our listeners that might not know about them and also to reminisce with some of the old Shawls with this kind of dedication episode. So thank you all for tuning in to this special SHINee kind of dive in. Don't forget to rate and review us on Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, and iHeartRadio, and follow us on Instagram at Idol Talk Pod. Until next time, we will talk to you later. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.